We praise you, Lord Jesus. You are the righteous healer. You are the Lord of all, King of kings and Lord of lords. We honor you today. You alone deserve our praise. So we honor you. We lift you up, Lord Jesus, Savior of the world, King of kings, the one who died that we might have life, healer of all. We thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus that we might be born again to a living hope, that we might live in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We've had the opportunity. We praise you. We worship you today with our voices. And so, Lord, it's good for us to be together, and we thank you. And we praise you now. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Good morning. You may be seated. Those of you who are standing, if you have your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 17. If you'll take your copy of God's Word, find your place in Deuteronomy. And then also, if you'll find your place in the book of James. James chapter 1. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us today, we're honored to have you here. We hope you'll come back. We're finishing up summertime, and the good news is school starts already this coming week. Yay, boys and girls! Well, that didn't go over so well, did it? You know, that's all right. Before we start this morning in our Bibles, I'm going to talk to you about something that may surprise you, but I want to share this with you. It's more of a personal testimony than a sermon, but it'll all sound the same. I want to talk to you about one of the greatest blessings in my life, and I want to say it to you, share it with you as the pastor of this church. I want to talk to you about the blessing of personal Bible reading. I did not say Bible study. I want to talk about Bible reading. Now, I ask you to take your Bible, your copy of God's Word. I know some of you have other devices or however you find your place in God's Word. You know, I'm looking around here and a whole lot of us have a lot of thanks to give to the educators and teachers in our life. Did you know that? So I want all of our teachers who are educators, if you serve in any capacity in the education system, would you please stand? Those of you who are educators, teachers, come on, stand up. We had them in every hour. We've got them all down here. We've got them all up in the top. I also want us to have our homeschool parents stand up. Those of you who are homeschoolers, please stand. Come on, moms and dads, parents. Now, all of these people right here are an example that the rest of us need to say thank you to, because they're all teaching boys and girls to do something we're going to do today. We're going to have the opportunity to read today. Aren't you glad you can read today? We should say thank you to all of these people. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Let me tell you something. Reading is a gift. Did you know that? Reading's a gift. Somebody, boys and girls, you listen to Pastor Mike today. Listen to old Pastor Mike. It's important to learn your ABCs. It's important to learn how to read your books. It's important to go pick up a book and read it. It's important to learn to read. Reading helps you have a life of success. Reading helps you understand the world better. And reading blesses you with the greatest privilege of all, and that is reading the words of God. The Bible, these sacred, holy words. I have the opportunity to read them today because I had a teacher who taught me how to read them. So I brought up here today, This is my Bible given to me by my parents when I was 9 years old. So it's over, I got to sit down to say this, it's over 50 years old. Man, I'm tired already. I got to go home. I got to go to the house. And you say, well, it looks pretty rough. Well, a lot of you over 50 in here look pretty rough too. What do you think you look like? And I was looking in here, and as a 9-year-old, already learning how to mark my Bible, I didn't underline as good as I should. Some of my underlines are all squiggly on the words. And you know, and one time I, you know, was in class, obviously somewhere, and I didn't have the right kind of, you know, thing to read. And I have marked with magic marker in here, and it went through the pages. But now, as a man over 60, I look back on this and think, somebody cared enough to give me, listen, a copy of God's Word. For me to, now I didn't say for you to clap for me. Here's what I want to say. Somebody gave you a copy of God's Word one time. Do you remember? Oh, I hate to bring this up. Do you know where your Bible is today? Is it in the back of the truck with McDonald's French fries on the back of it and it's all laying down there in the floorboard? Is it in the dash of your car? Is your Bible a lovely decorative piece that you've put on the mantle and it looks so good? It's beautiful. What I want to talk to you today is about the importance of picking this book up. And I want to share with you the blessing of my life. The blessing that I have had because some people taught me a long time ago. Now I'm your pastor, I'm just doing my job. I want to challenge you to personally read your Bible. Well, Pastor Mike, you can read it for me. No, I can't read it for you. You got to read it for yourself. And I'm looking around in here. Oh, we got a lot of busy men. We got a lot of men in here. They're busy. I might as well chase this rabbit down while I can. You know, I got a lot of men. Well, Pastor Mike, I can't really read. I'm not interested in reading. What's interesting? You know, if I talk to you about hunting, you know everything about it. Man, I know where to go. And you sit back in there and you wait and you sit in that deer stand forever and ever and you wait for that crazy deer to walk across and you know how to spray that stuff down that smells and get them all over there. How did you learn all about that? You read about it. I know what you were doing. You read about it. You read whatever you want to read. If you read, you read. You know what you're interested in. I want to challenge you to read your Bible. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take you to the Old Testament, first of all. And I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. And here we're going to read, I love to say that, here we're going to read, I'm going to put it on the screen, I'm going to put it here, we're going to read what God expected of a busy man. He was the king of Israel. Now, would you all say, kings are pretty busy people. Now I'm looking in the faces. I've looked at faces all morning long. Busy people. Man, it's tax-free weekend. We got a lot to do. Hurry up, Pastor Mike. I got to get over to Walmart so I can get my stuff done. By the way, you got till 11:59 tonight to get your tax-free stuff. So I'm going to take my time and say what I want to say. If you need to leave, go ahead and slip out. But here's my point. We're talking about a busy man now, the king. Kings are bosses of everything. Kings run kingdoms. Kings tell people what to do, and if they don't do it, well, they kill them. I mean, it's just the kings are in charge of everything. They run whole countries. What did God say kings are supposed to do? Well, I'd like for you to stand now in honor of the reading of God's Word. And we read what God said kings are to do. Verse 18, it shall come about when he, the king, sits on his throne. That means he wasn't tired. He was sitting doing his job. When a king sits on his throne, he's doing his work. When he shall sit on the throne of his kingdom, oh, wait a minute, he shall write for himself a copy of this law, the law of God on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. And it shall be with him. So God's Word, his personal copy of God's Word as the king shall be with him while he's on his throne doing his work. Please notice verse 19. And he shall read it all the days of his life. Now if you'll go over to the book of James while you're standing. James chapter 1. James helps us all who are followers of Jesus here today to understand how we're to hear and read God's Word. And James says, James 1:21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, please pay attention, in humility receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Verse 25. Here's the point of today's message. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law of God, the one who, notice, looks at his Bible, the law of liberty, and abides in it, that keeps on looking at it, notice, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effective doer, here it is. This man or this woman will be blessed in what he does. Heavenly Father, help us today to see and understand the blessing of reading your word every day, all of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. May my words honor Jesus today. Amen. You may be seated. It is my desire, in whatever time I'm here as the pastor of this church, I have one goal, I have one desire. I don't want you to have somebody else quote to you what they think my goal is around here. You know, I've had people say, well, this is what Pastor Mike wants to do. Well, let me out of the horse's mouth or the donkey's mouth, you can hear it today, all right, for yourself. This is my desire for this church. In all of our work, in all of our training, in all of our discipling, in all of our teaching, in all of our VBS, in all of our work, in all that we do, my greatest desire, I can finish my work and be pleased if I would be able to see that all of God's people who are part of this church would read their Bible every day for the rest of their life. That's my goal. I want you to be so taken by the Word of God. I want you to be captured by the power of these words so that you can't get away from this book and you can't get enough of it. That's my goal. I want you to feel God's Word, because let me tell you what we're going to see today. When you pick up this book and you read it, something miraculous happens to you and to me. And so I'm giving my testimony this morning. I'm grateful as a 9-year-old boy, all those many years ago. This isn't a fancy looking Bible. It's kind of pitiful looking if you think about it. All the pages are so old, they've turned yellow. It smells kind of musty. But I have a Bible. Somebody gave me a Bible and taught me how to read the Bible. You know, we teach around here getting a good grip on God's Word. This is the way we disciple people. We teach them five fingers. Listen, don't drift on me. This is all important today. Five fingers, how to get a grip on God's Word. Number one, look, it's my thumb. You hear God's Word like you're doing right now. We're reading the Bible, but we're also hearing it being taught and preached. You heard it if you went to Sunday school or Bible study. You heard the teacher teach the Word of God. You looked at words, you thought about it. So we hear it, here's my thumb, and we read it. Now look, I can hold my Bible like that. I can. I'm all right with that. If I get that done, that's good. But you see, when you get a grip on the Bible, you hear it, you read it, and then my third finger, you study it. That's a little better grip. Then you memorize it. That's even a better grip. And then you meditate on it. That's the way you hold this book and you get a firm grip on God's Word. So this morning, I'm just talking about hearing and reading. You know, when I hear and read, something happens. I want to study it. When I hear and read the Word of God, I want to study it. I want to learn more. That's why we provide opportunities around here. But, oh, I don't just study it so that I can know about it like a book at school. No, I actually want to start memorizing it. So when I can't open my Bible and I'm going to work, it's in my head. See, this is the kind of stuff you want in your head, not the kind of stuff that sometimes is in your head. This is what you want in your head. This is what you want rattling around your brain. When you have idle time, this is what you want to come up in your mind. And then meditating, oh, that's when I take part of it. And just like a dog, I chew on that, I chew the bone. I just chew on those words and I think about them and I chew on them and I chew on them. There's nothing that's more joyful to look at than a dog having a good time chewing on a bone. Do you know that? But that's what you get to when you get in this. And I wish for all of you, I pray for every one of you, no matter what your age, you young boys and girls, pick your Bible up and read it. Start reading it. That's why we have these green sheets all over this church. It's a good way to start. Now, I'm looking around here. We got a lot of sophisticated people here who know a lot about the Bible. And you got your own Bible reading plan. You'll come to me and say, Pastor Mike, I've got my own way of reading. Great. If you got your own way to read the Bible, just as long as you're reading it every day, all your life, I'm good. Remember, just like the king, he shall read it all the days of his life. But look, we got this reading plan. They're all over the church. You can read this Bible reading plan. New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. Today was Matthew 20. You just read the chapter. You read the chapter. You see, that's what it means. That's what it means. The importance of reading the Bible. Now, most of us got up this morning and we ate something before we came to church. By the way, did you read your Bible this morning? Don't answer out loud. Do you know where your Bible is? Don't answer out loud. But you see, this is important for your life. This isn't something that just the preachers do. This isn't just something that the teachers do. This is what you do. The importance of Bible. If God set the standard for His kings to read and make their own copy of God's Word, I've got it. I need to do the same. Now let's go to the second thing. And I want to talk for just a few minutes, kind of like we were in school, about how do you read the Bible personally. All right? Let's go to the second thing. And for that, go to James chapter 1. James helps us understand how to read God's Word. Now for some of you, I don't have these points that I'm going to mention up on the screen. You're going to have to listen to me. And if you're interested, you jot them down. But here's what this morning when I got up, I tried to practice these principles in my own Bible reading time. I read the Bible every day. I read the Bible in the morning. I read the Bible at the night before I go to bed, along with praying. Oh, I study the Bible, but I read the Bible. And my reading of my Bible, listen, this is important for you to hear the preacher say, I'm not just reading the Bible so I can preach to you. I'm reading the Bible so that I know what to do with my life. I'm reading the Bible so that I have direction for my life. I'm reading the Bible so I can understand what God wants me to do. You see, before I study it, I have to read it. And as I read it, I start to pick up these things God wants me to do. When you read the Bible, you know what? The Bible reads you. Did you know that? Like a mirror. All of a sudden you're looking at God's Word. So what do I do this morning? Notice James chapter 1, James 1, 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. You know, the first thing I've got to do, I sat down this morning and I said, Lord, forgive me my sin. I confess my sins. I had to be specific in word and deed and thought. If there were things unconfessed in my life, I wanted to clean myself up. It's similar to what your mama tells you. Wash your hands before you eat. Yes. Wash yourself before you come to God's sacred, holy words. These are divine words. This isn't some novel. This isn't some history book. These are the very words of God, inspired by God, given to us over thousands of years by multiple writers under the inspiration and guidance of God. They are the very words of God given to us. So I got to clean myself up. So what's the first thing I do? I read with humility. Notice what it says here. In humility. I'm not coming to my Bible in the morning to argue with God about what He said. I'm not reading my Bible so I can disprove it. I'm not coming to see if I can find out if that's really accurate or not. No, I've already decided this is the Word of God, so I am coming to the Word. I'm sitting there or kneeling, however I'm doing it at home. I'm sitting there and I have confessed my sin, and the first thing I'm doing in order to read my Bible is I'm coming to God's Word humbly. I'm not coming out of arrogance. I'm not coming as if I know what I'm about to read. No, I come humbly. You know what Peter said? He said it a different way. Peter in chapter 2, verse 2, 1 Peter 2, 2, he said, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word. There's nothing more humbling, there's nothing more helpless than a baby who has to be fed milk by someone else. You come to God's Word, church, humbly. Secondly, notice what he says. In humility, And here's this word, receive the word implanted or sown by seed. Receive the word that's being seeded. Now this word for receive, the Greek word here, is the word that means to accept. Now listen to me real quick, I'm going to go fast. Jesus one time talked about hearing God's word. Hearing God's word and reading God's word is the same. I often say to this church, listen, when you read your Bible, you are hearing with your eyes. You are hearing with your eyes. How are you hearing this morning? How are you hearing even as I speak to you? Well, you see, Jesus said every time the word of God is spoken or read, there are four kinds of responses to God's word. Number one, there are hard-hearted people. Hard-hearted people will never accept or receive God's word. And Jesus says it's like the seeds drop on hard ground, and on the hard ground, the seeds have no place to grow. The soil is not ready, and the birds come and take it away. Look, the devil takes it away. He doesn't want you to hear what I'm talking about. He doesn't want you to read the word of God. If you read the word of God, it'll change you. Make an option, make you different in your life. He said, Jesus said also there's another kind of soil that can't accept or receive the seeds of God's word as it's preached and read. And that was the rocky ground. Oh, you hear it at first, you get motivated. Yeah, I'm going to, boy, I heard Pastor Mike, I heard my teacher talk about the Bible. I'm going to go home and read the Bible and it lasts one day. No, you got to read it every day, all of your life. Notice what the king was to do, sit on his throne with his copy of the word and read it all his life. And I'm standing here to say to you, I'm not better than you. I am one of us. I walk with Jesus. I have to confess my sin, but I will tell you one of the blessings of my life. I have read my Bible. I have read my Bible all these years. Now, some days I miss it. Some days I'm not as good. Some days I'm happy and high and I'm really excited. And some days I'm really low. But I have learned the discipline of reading my Bible no matter how I feel. And then there was rocky, well, on the rocky ground, the problem is the roots can't go down, so the seeds can't grow. Then there was thorny ground, Jesus said. Thorny ground. Oh, people say to me, Pastor Mike, I'm so worried. What do I do? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Sit down and quit talking to everybody else about it and talk to the Lord about it. Let the Lord speak to you. You've got to take enough time to sit down and let the Lord speak to you. I say this to this church. I've said it for years. If you could speak to the wisest person in the world, who knows all things that's ever been in history and knows how everything's going to end, and you could sit down and speak to that person, would you sit down with them? Of course you could. Here it is. Here it is. The beginning from the ending. You see, when we read God's word, we must read it with humility. We must read it with openness or acceptance. Now, I've talked to our farmers around here, and our farmers have helped me with this. I'm not a farmer. I don't know. Look, I'm from the city. I don't even know how to turn a tractor on. I don't have a clue what you even do on those things. But I have learned this from our farmers, that when the ground is broken up and plowed and prepared, the soil accepts the seeds and they grow. Jesus said, good ground receives the seeds of the Word of God. So when I sit before the Lord in the morning and I pray, and I open God's word, and I've confessed my sin, I come humbly. I come with openness. But oh, there's a third thing. I want you to see it, verse 22. Prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So some would say, well, I went to church and I heard the preacher preach. Well, so what? So what? It's like listening to the radio. It's like listening to the TV. You see, if you read or hear God's word, you must do it. This is the third principle of really reading God's word. You read to obey. You read out of humility. You read with openness to receive what God has for you. And you read with obedience. Here's the way I'd say it, church. Listen, when you read your Bible, when you sit, it's so important. It's so essential to your spiritual life. You're reading this book so that you can live by what it says. You read these words so that you live them out in your life and others see Jesus in you. They see that you live by what you read. You read it and it changes you. You read it and you obey it. You come to God's Word in reading and you say, I'm coming this morning, Lord, humbly. I need your help. I come today and I'm prepared as best I can to receive your Word in the midst of however I'm feeling, but I'm going to obey what you tell me to do. As I read God's Word today, I'm going to obey it. And then there's a third thing, a fourth thing that he shows us. We read carefully. We read intentionally. Look at verse 25. The one who looks intently at the perfect law and abides by it. Now this word, this Greek word for it, intently, I'm reading from the New American Standard. This word means to stoop down and carefully examine. So if this speaker wasn't working, and I'm obviously not the one to work on it, but I would stoop down here and we would try to figure out what's wrong with this speaker, why it's not working, and I'd spend some attention. I'd give my attention. I'd look at this and I'd pay attention. When you open your Bible and you read it, don't read it like you're trying to run a contest for how fast you can finish. Read it and linger over the words. Pause at the phrases. Pay attention to who's speaking. Notice the order of the words. Linger as you read. Linger. You see, the Bible's reading you just as you're reading it. Because all of a sudden, you know what's going to happen? When you humbly, openly, obediently, with intentionality read God's Word, you know what happens? Stuff starts coming to your mind. And it's the kind of things that need to come to your mind. Certain people will come to your mind. Certain things that have happened at the job will come to your mind. Certain things will happen in some relationship that come to your mind. Where's that coming from? You're not reading about that. You're reading some words from somewhere in the Bible and all of a sudden these things come. That's where you have to understand that something supernatural happens when you read these words. So have you read today God's Word? I have found in my life the greatest blessing, the best way that I have ever gained for learning how to live my life with wisdom is to read this book. The best way to know how to have eternal life and not die in my sin is by reading this book and doing what this book says. These pages, these chapters, these words all matter. Every word matters. And so I end with this blessing. Notice in verse 25, this was my point of all this today. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. Listen, here it is. This man or this woman will be blessed in what he does. Blessed in what he does. A miracle happens when I read God's Word. Now, I'll finish by just reading these words to you and we're done. So what happens to the king who reads God's Word? Well, back in Deuteronomy chapter 17, we'll finish here. Notice what the Bible says, if you want to join me back there. Deuteronomy chapter 17, again, verse number 19. His copy of God's Word will be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that, number one, he might learn to fear his God. When I read this book, you know what I discover? I discover the glory and power and awesomeness of our mighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I discover who God is, how He works, how He speaks to people. I recognize and I'm overwhelmed and I'm awed as I'm reading about this Holy One who would have a desire to send His Son so that I might have life. I'm overwhelmed by who God is. I have a reverence and an awe. This book, as I read these words, I discover who God is. I discover why Jesus came. I understand the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today, who of those of us who've been born again, he shall, that he may learn to fear God. You see, as you read, you learn. As you read, you learn. By the way, have you read your Bible today? As you read, you learn to fear the Lord. And then notice it says in verse 19, by carefully observing all the words. Oh, there's that intentionality. See, it's reading not to hurry up and finish your reading. Okay, got that done, so I don't have to have any guilt about it. Now let's get back to real life. No, you got it backwards. Here's where real life begins, picking this book up and reading it. Your life depends on what you read in this book. I cannot tell you enough. I appeal to you. If you will just try this out, prove me wrong. Read your Bible for 30 days without missing a day. Prove me wrong and see if something doesn't happen. That he might learn to fear his God and carefully observe all the words. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, Brother Mike, my favorite part of the Bible is, well, that's good, but all the Bible matters. All the words matter. Carefully observe all the words of this law. And number three, his heart will not have pride. He won't be lifted up above his countrymen. So when I read the word again, I grow in humility. And then notice he won't turn to the right or left in verse 20. He'll be faithful. When I read the word of God, it teaches me how to be faithful to God, how to abide in Christ, how to live with the Lord. And finally, it's a blessing to the family so that his sons may continue long in the kingdom. You know, reading your Bible personally is a wonderful thing, but you know what you can do? Sometimes men will tell me, well, I don't know how to help my family have worship at home. You know what you could do? It's a simple thing, men. You don't have to preach a sermon. You know, sometimes men will say, well, we're going to have church at home. I'm going to be the preacher. Well, the kids, just look, don't make it complicated. Just pick up the Bible and read it together. Read your Bible together. Read it. When you read the Word of God, as the book of James tells us, and you humbly, openly, obediently, carefully read these words, the Bible says you are blessed in what you do. So how do I grow in my relationship with God? Well, started a long time ago, and you know what? As an old man, I still got to read it every day. I've read those stories. Well, you say, I've read the story of David and Goliath 100 times. It's good. Read it again. I've read all about Joshua going across the Jordan and all. Read it again. We've heard all these stories from the gospel about Jesus healing the blind and raising the dead. Read it again. I'm going to tell you what you're going to find. This book is alive. And when you read it, I've been reading it the other day and I thought, well, I thought I'd already read that. And the Lord said, no, I got a whole lot more for you, big boy, where it comes from. How about you just read it and learn? So this morning, I appeal to you to leave this place and experience the greatest blessing you can have in life. You know how I came to know Jesus? Because I read the Bible. And the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I just quoted the Bible. Jesus said, you know, don't be troubled. I'm coming back. Over and over, we can go to God's word that we've learned. But we learn it because we've heard it, and we learn it because we've read it. I pray this week you'll humbly, openly, obediently, carefully read God's word. Remember, if kings are required and commanded to take the time to do it, pretty much all of us need to do the same. Amen? So turn to your neighbor and say, read your Bible this week. Now your neighbor can be mad at you instead of me because you just preached the sermon. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, the power of these words to change our life. And we all, many, many hundreds of us today, stand saying we are changed people because of these words. Forgive us when we've been too busy to pick up your Word and read it. Lord, we pray for our friends who are here who are brand new in following Jesus. They don't know all about this book and they're intimidated by it. Lord, I pray you'd help them just to start in reading, just to read a little bit every day, every day, every day. Encourage them. Holy Spirit, encourage them. Draw them to this book so they might read. And I pray for my dear brothers who are busy at their jobs, trying to care for their families. May they not ignore reading these words for themselves and for their own responsibility of leading their family. So we pray today that you would help us, Lord, to be blessed in all that we do because we have humbly, willingly, obediently, intentionally read your word. Change us as a church because we come to your word and open it together and we read it and we experience what you have for us. So show us your way. With our heads bowed, if you're here this morning and recently, maybe you're one of our children in Vacation Bible School, you prayed to receive Christ. You've never told the church about it. You need to come and you need to make that decision public. If you're a student and you need to come and say to the church, I'm ready, like these who were baptized today, I'm ready to follow the Lord in baptism. Maybe you're here this morning and recently you've prayed to receive Christ, or you want to know more about following the Lord. Well, we want you to do that. We are unashamed to do this. We invite you to come publicly, step forward and say, I'm ready in front of all these people. I'm ready to follow Jesus. All of us who follow Jesus here, we've done the same thing. Maybe you need to join this church. God's put you in this community, in this place. We're not perfect people here. We don't always do good. We try our best, but sometimes we fail as a church. But if you want to be a part of a group of people who are seeking to follow Jesus and love other people like Jesus, tell the world about Jesus, we'd love for you to come if God leads you and you join us. So, Lord, now, bless this invitation and may we do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's sing together. Steve's going to lead us. You come if you need to come.